Songwriter Trist is all about connecting with like-minded people by building relationships with those who are on a similar mission. Because when we work together, we are stronger and we have more fun. This is a bonus episode where we get to know other people in the industry and go into detail about other essential parts of what it takes to get the song from the songwriter's head to playing on your phone. Perfect, baby, in every way, you're perfect. You're perfect, baby, and you make me wanna... Welcome to a bonus episode of Songwriter Trist with Nicole. How are you?
Doing great. How are you, Ray?
I'm good. We've been meaning to do this for quite a while because you run Women of Country, and I think it's such an amazing project and we want to get to know you a bit more and find a little bit more about what you're doing. So why don't you tell us a little bit more about who you are and where you come from?
Yeah, so I am originally from Portland, Oregon in the United States, and I was raised actually not on country music, but a lot of different influences on pop music and Americana and rap. I listened to everything.
Mainstream.
And it was actually in the car one day when my dad said, when I was younger, I used to listen to a lot of country music, and I know you like to listen to mainstream, but please give it a chance.
Yeah.
And so we were on a long road trip, and it was from Portland to LA, which is about a 16-hour road trip. And he was like, all right, I'm going to play The Highway, which is a Sirius XM station here in the States. And he was putting it on and was like, okay, it's going to be great. And I was like, all right, I'll listen to it. And one of the first few songs that came on was Love Me a Minute by Kelsey Ballerini. And I was like, oh, this is a fun song. This is something I could get into. Country music isn't that bad.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, Dad, I'll give into it. This is great. And so throughout that 16-hour drive, I was waiting to hear another Kelsey Ballerini song or really just any other females, and realized that there really weren't any at all. Mm. Throughout 16 hours, I think I heard three females. It was Miranda Lambert and Carrie Underwood at the time. And they're really dominating the scene. And I was like, there has to be more females out there. I don't know where they are, but they have to be there. And where are they? I know. I was like, I know there's more than half the population is female. This can't be right. So I literally created an Instagram. Instagram was just booming. This was 2015. And it started off as a collection for myself that was like, okay, here's a list of female artists in country music that I could listen to and, you know, really dive into. And I created an Instagram. Some of the first few artists I think that I was promoting or like putting onto that were like Kelly Clarkson, Mickey Guyton, Lindsay L. And it's so great to see where they are today. But I started getting followers, and I was like, okay, this is fun. And it wasn't until I got reached out to by manager. It was Olivia Lane's manager. And she was like, do you want to interview Olivia? Put her on your Instagram. And I was like, wait, what? And I was so surprised. I was like, okay, sure. And I was like, wow, this sounds so fun. Like, I've never had anyone reach out to me, obviously, and I've never conducted an interview or anything. And I was like, okay, so we're winging it. And I just came up with some fun questions and questions I use today, and had so much fun talking to Olivia and hearing her backstory. And from there on, I started a website and blog and just kept rolling with it.
That's insane. And like, obviously it was something that was needed in the market. And like, you weren't the only one sitting there going, hang on a second, where are all the female country artists? Like, you're right, it's 50% of the population. Why was it not 50% of the country radio? It's a whole new world, isn't it? It's changing.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Definitely. And that was right around the Tomato Gate as well. I don't know if you remember that, but one of our radio hosts, Keith Hill, I believe, he was like, females are only the tomatoes in the salad. They're not necessary in country music. And that blew up a ton of people. Yes, a ton of people who were noticing it, like me, who are like, whoa, wait, hold on. That's not right. We need to change that. That needs to be changed. And little things. So like, my blog started, and Song Suffragette started in Nashville, female shows on Monday nights, and CMT picked up with Next Woman of Country. And all of that was happening at the same time. So it was like the perfect timing when I jumped in on this bandwagon.
Oh, that's absolutely crazy, though, because it's not just country music. There's a lot of industries where it's been very male-dominated, like golf or just anything where it's like men think they own it.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of those.
And men are still saying, hello, we're human, we would like to be. And yep. That's really cool. And I don't think you're the only one to have not grown up on country and been very mainstream as well. Like, that's mainstream is pushed in our faces, which is fine. Like, it's usually good music as well. But, yeah, you have to have someone who can introduce you or show you country music before it's really going to be in your life. And I love your dad for doing that. That's so cool. What did he think about you bringing in more women and being a part of Women in Country?
Yeah, he was so supportive. He was also like, it's an excuse so I can listen to country music more in the car. But no, he's been so supportive through all of this. And it's actually really cute when we have a Spotify family plan and you can like make playlists and he follows on my playlist and I just make him playlists with new female artists every week and he loves listening to them. He's, oh, I love this new artist. And he'll like text me like, I love this new song. And I think that's so fun. And I hope all the playlists are doing that, not just for him, but just for everyone who follows them and everyone on the platform. And so much discovery is out there. And I think streaming has a big part of that because you can follow playlists that are maybe not going to be on those mainstream radio stations. Yeah. And hear that new music that everyone's craving.
Absolutely. It's leveling the playing field a little bit. They still have control, but it's a different type of control. So tell me about yourself. What are you doing now and how has this evolved from 2015?
Yeah, I am just graduating from college, actually. So going through that process. But recently, I just held an internship with the Academy of Country Music Awards. And that was big, mind-changing experience because I've always been on the journalism side of country music and the industry. And so seeing it from the award side and being like, how do you give these people these awards? And what are your criteria? And what goes into creating the award show? And it was really cool to be on the marketing team for the 56th Academy of Country Music Awards and see the whole process and everything. And really what I learned from that whole process is you can't please everyone. I thought they were great at incorporating diversity in this year's show, as well as trying to touch on the traditional aspects of country music that a lot of people like. And of course, there are going to be people who are like, I'd rather see this person. I was like, you can't put them all on the show. It's already 3 hours long. So it was cool to see their thought process and see how they choose, what are their criteria. And radio does have a big part of it, but it's interesting this year to see how diversity and those initiatives led to Mickey Guyton being a host and led to just so many conversations that were brought up throughout the year and planning that. And so it's cool to see the industry changing in that and see that perspective. And then in addition with the Women of Country specifically, I've transformed not just women, but really anyone who is the underdogs or underrepresented in country music. And we're here to support all of those. And that includes those by POC artists. And this year has been a major turning point in that. And I think just because we are clearly stated our values and we're like this, we're inclusive, and that's the whole point of creating the Women of Country. I think it's really great to see that in our fan base and to see the comments rolling in and all that.
Wow. So, yeah, you have such a big heart and you obviously work so hard.
Thank you.
I'm curious about two things. One, I wanted to learn more about the ACM and what that experience was like and what you think you brought out of it, because I've just been learning about awards systems in Australia and it's such a complex thing. And I've never been the cool kid. I feel like it's all about the cool kids in the in crowd. And I'm like, I don't get it. It's not my thing, but it is important in a business to have recognition because you get an award and then it helps other people understand what you're doing. I get that there's value in it, but tell me, what did you learn from being a part of that internship and you went to the ACM? Tell me about all of that.
One of the things I learned is it takes so many more people and there's so many more people involved in this. It's not three people being like, I like this person this year and putting them onto that. And honestly, it's none of the people who work at the ACM that are in charge of determining who is awarded and who isn't. It's really a lot of it is data driven, which I think is really cool. And they're incorporating more streaming into that. And yes, it is a lot of labels pushing their artists and that is helping certain artists. So that's why you see a lot of the same people awarded every year. Yeah. But ultimately it is, I think it comes to a board member vote specifically for the Academy of Country Music. And that is how, once we have the nominees, they are then voted on by the board of directors and calculated by another firm. So there's so many pieces. They're like, we want to make sure everything's good and counted correctly. And it's cool to see like that process. It's not like a quick selection process in the office one day. That was really interesting to see, because I was always wondering, like, how do you come up with these artists? How does this artist stand out from the others? And so that was a really interesting process. And then in the production side of it too, there's so many people putting this together. There's a whole team for social media, and then there's agencies that we worked with, and then there's a whole production team, and then more like production companies that we worked with and sponsorships. So it was so cool to see it all come together and to be able to sit in on a lot of those calls.
That's amazing. And I love how people, when we work together and we can create something so beautiful and it's valued by so many people. So yeah, well done for being a part of it. That's such a good initiative to just go and see what's going on and learn from that experience. It's going to be invaluable. What do you see you doing for the future? Like, what are your goals?
Yeah, my goals are really just, I love the community in Nashville. And every time I talk to people about, oh, should I move to Nashville or should I stay in LA? Which is a common thing to talk about right now. It always comes down to Nashville, and it comes down to the community. And I think everyone's super welcoming, and more people are like trying to support one another, which is exactly what the Women of Country is about. And LA is just such a big scene, and it's so hard to make it here. And it's such a big city, and I do love LA for other reasons, but I do plan on moving to Nashville.
Wow, big move.
Even though I don't have a huge community there right now, I also feel like I do already have a huge community of friends there just through social media and Zoom calls this year, which have been crazy to think about that. I was like, I think I have as many friends in Nashville as I do in LA, which is crazy because I've never lived there. But yeah, it's fun to say that, and it's cool. There's some crazy things about the pandemic, but it's to realize that you can really stay in touch with people over the internet is actually cool.
Yeah.
And so seeing them in real life will be even more better. Which one?
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be like a big party.
It will be. Yeah, totally. You're perfect, baby, in every way. You're perfect. You're perfect, baby,
and you make me want to stay. You're perfect. So Nashville is going to be a big move, and What are you going to do when you get to Nashville? What do you think is going to happen?
When I get to Nashville, I'm currently applying to every job in the book, but I also want to keep expanding the Women of Country. And I think being there and being in person, I'll have that opportunity to connect with artists and create. I want to boost our YouTube page and have like live sessions and really get into the community that way and connect with as many people as possible and help with marketing and inclusion and just really diving into the whole scene.
I love that you've got all of those things, especially like the inclusion part and just making women feel encouraged, because I think we need as much encouragement as possible because it isn't easy. So I would love to see you doing like live events, and maybe you're in like Women of Country Awards night. You can just take all these lessons you've learned from the ACM internship and just create your own thing.
Absolutely. And I'd love to do that. And every year at the end of the year, we do an awards, which has continued to evolve. It was originally just like a Twitter poll and something. And then people got so involved in it and loved it. And they were like, oh my gosh. And I was like, I want to open this to everyone because the idea is inclusion. And I don't want certain nominees, and I want everyone to have a chance to vote for everyone and whatever. Yeah. And so this year I just opened it as someone's name in, and we'll tally up all the names at the end of the year. And it was a bit more work on my part, but I think it was great because some of the winners were people that you would never expect. Like Brina K won for Artist of the Year, and normally you would expect it to be Ashley McBride, Carrie Underwood, and it wasn't. And I think that's such a cool opportunity, and for these artists to be like, oh my God, I won Artist of the Year, and it was fan voted and fans. Yeah. It's all for the fans, and it's really an opportunity because to be a board member for the Academy of Country Music Awards, you do have to do a lot in the industry. Yeah. It's not like every fan gets a chance for that. So I think it's really cool for fans and to interact and see that, actually my vote made it.
Made a difference.
Made a difference.
Yeah, and how beautiful is that?
yeah, and it was so beautiful to see and see that support, and it was great for the artists as well. And
yeah.
Yeah. So I'd love to put that in a live show and actually really get those artists up and performing and have everyone come out and see them and really give them an award. So
instead of a red carpet, you can have a pink carpet.
Perfect. Oh my God. Sold.
I love it. Absolutely.
Totally sold.
I would totally come over. That would be cool.
Oh, it's amazing.
All right. So tell me a little bit about you and your other hobbies and interests. What do you do, like, outside of obviously so much work that you do for Women in Country?
Yeah.
What else do you like? What makes you happy? What's your downtime?
What's my downtime? Right now, I feel like I have no downtime. But when I do get downtime and when there isn't a pandemic, I love to travel. And I love to go to different places and see different cultures. And really, I also love to explore different foods and everything and to eat and everything. And so traveling and eating go together and new experiences. And I'm always be like, how can I make the most of my time? And so as soon as I can travel again safely, I plan to do.
Yeah, it is a little bit scary out there in the world, big wide world at the moment.
It is a little. Every country's a little different too. So I'm like, oh, we'll wait it out. You guys are better than
the Australia US, did pretty well. We're still in lockdown, though, and they're still paranoid, which is fine. We'll wait until the world becomes a bit more vaccinated. But it's not been a terrible place to be locked down, that's for sure.
But that's true.
what about where you went before lockdown and, you know, before the pandemic? Let's talk. When the world was beautiful and everyone had freedom. Tell me, sounds like Pandora. Tell me, what was your favorite place to visit and what was your, like, best experience when you were traveling?
Yeah, so I actually was born in China, and I was adopted at a very young age and brought to the United States, so I do not remember a lot about China when I was a baby, but I was able to go back and work there and just really live there for 3 months. And it was literally the summer right before the pandemic, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's great. Got it before it all hit. And it was such a great experience. And I've also been studying the language, so it was such a great experience to go to a completely different country, completely different culture, language, everything, and be able to literally immerse myself and speak the language and become a citizen. And I thought that was so fun to be like, I can independently live in another country with a different language. And I had such a blast, and it was great because I not only got to see, like, the big tourist sites, the Forbidden City and Temple of Heaven, but also to see the smaller parts and how the locals live and see, like, little districts and little towns and try everything. So that was such a great experience. And I think traveling, even, like, to Nashville, traveling in 1 week is so different than being able to live there and really immerse yourself. And so I do
completely different,
wholeheartedly believe in, like, for students studying abroad, and I wholeheartedly believe in, like, living someplace for a short period of time, whether it's a summer or whenever you get that time before really, like, living there and moving there.
Yeah.
Because I think your perspective changes so much, even with LA, like, a huge change.
What would you say to do? Because I don't know. I've been to Nashville. I've only been to LAX. So
scary place.
Yeah, a little bit. Try to stay awake there after a flight, and then you've got to wait for another flight to Nashville.
Oh, oof.
Tell me the biggest difference between LA and Nashville, do you think? Because they are the two big places that people would want to go for music.
Yeah.
What's your advice on either side?
I think music is more actually accessible in Nashville. And I say this because it is a whole event and production to go to a show in LA. It's an hour commute.
Yeah.
It's paying for the tickets. It's paying for the drinks. It's paying for the valet. It's paying for being shoved. I think there are very pretty venues and very iconic venues in LA, which have hosted so many great artists, and I think those are there, but it comes at a price versus in Nashville. You can go to the listening room and it's more appreciative of the music itself rather than, oh, it's a fun place to go with friends, hang out and drink.
Okay.
Oh, and there's also music versus I think the appreciation in Nashville for the music itself is so much bigger, and it is less of a production. It's more of, oh, smaller venue. You can talk and interact with the artists and interact with the crowd and see a show for $10 and interact with the artists and buy their merch. And that even leads more to the artists, I think, too. And there's better relationships built in Nashville.
Yeah. Oh, it's like a big country town, really.
It really is.
I wish I could have gone back last year. I wish I could go back this year, but you never know. It's just one of those things. We've just got to keep waiting and it'll open up one day. But I love everything that you're doing, Nicole, and I just think it's absolutely incredible that you're providing a space for us women who love country and who sing country to be able to learn and connect and work together, because we are so much more powerful when we work together. And yes, you've provided a space for us to do that, like, collectively. And obviously it was needed. It was right place, right time. It was destiny. It's meant to be. So how can people get involved and be a part of Women in Country and be a part of this collective?
Yeah, there's so many ways to be part of this collective. Online, I would say follow our account, follow Song Suffragettes, follow Change the Conversation, Women Nashville. There's so many accounts out there. Listen on playlists. Or try to listen to our New Music Friday playlist. Listen to it once or two. If a song stands out to you, I know not every song you're going to love, but pick a few and add it to one of your playlists, and that'll help that artist out. Another way is to, I think a lot of people discount music videos, and I think they're a great way of really showcasing the story of how the artist saw it. And it's cool to listen to the song, see how it relates to your story, and then watch the music video and see how it relates to the artist originally, and then really connecting. So I think watch the music videos, enjoy those as well. And then also, like, word of mouth. Like, so many people have a not great connotation, or like a negative connotation, that country music is just all men and talking about tractors and that really raspy Luke Bryan, Blake Shelton are the only two artists in country music. Yeah. And that is not true. And exposing your friends and being like, honestly, country music has so many, it's a multi-leveled, multifaceted genre that has a little bit of something for everyone. And just like playing different songs, female, male, whatever. But just introducing your friends to country music and introducing them to the different styles and what it really is, I think, is a huge part of joining that collective.
I feel like that's what I'm doing on a regular basis. Like, when I meet people and we talk about, mainly because I was shocked. Like, I was a bit like you. I was mainstream and then rocked up at this event where it's all country music, and I just feel like it bulldozed me. But I had no idea what country music was. I thought it was banjos and spanking spoons and hay bales and line dancing. And it's so much deeper than that. It's just so incredible. It's family. And it's like a family that anyone can be a part of. It's beautiful. And now women are allowed into that family as well on a bigger scale. It's not that it wasn't there always. It just wasn't fair. You've obviously played a big role in that as well, because we needed a space to actually start talking about the fact that it wasn't fair, and the fact that they only just changed it here. I don't know if it was in America as well, that CMT and radio is now going to be 50-50 for men and women.
Amazing. Now,
I didn't even know that they had a rule. Like, for me, it was like, shouldn't it just be based on quality?
That's true. And unfortunately, it became a gender gap, and it was not at all about quality. It was about, oh, this person people gravitated to, so let's only play this person because we're too scared to take a risk and try someone new. And so it's a lot of that. And I think there is so much quality out there, and it's great that there are different ways of finding it.
So much. And you are obviously good quality. So I want to just thank you so much for jumping on here. And I think just everything you're doing is like aligns with what I'm doing, and I'm so glad that Songwriter Tris can support you and really help build you up and be a part of it. And yeah, because women need all the help that we can get.
Yes.
Man, it is a community, but it's nice to recognize where there's a gap and just go, hey, everyone, let's change this. I think you've done a really beautiful job of doing that. It hasn't been aggressive. It's just been a conversation, like you said. I really appreciate it. I am looking forward to seeing it grow. I'm looking forward to being on that pink carpet one day and getting all dressed up and celebrating women of country, because, gosh, that's just all I want to do. That's amazing.
Yes, so fun. And I hope that happens and I get to invite you. And thank you for everything, for talking with me and for inviting me onto this. It's so great. And I wish you the best luck with all your music and everything. And
thank you too. If there's ever anything you need, you can always just reach out. And yeah, we'll continue to support each other and lift up women in country.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Thank you. This has been a bonus episode of Songwriter Tris with Nicole from Women of Country. Such an amazing group. Please go to the website songwritertris.com to support them and get in touch. If you would like to be a friend of the podcast, please contact us. It's spinning, but my life is stuck, lost in